It's Mark Davis. Got a question. Are you always reaching for your reading glasses? Pick up a book, reach for the glasses. Look at a text, reach for the glasses. Open a menu, you get the idea. How about reaching for something else, like the phone? Climate Evangelist Eye Center is there at 1-800-714-2020, 1-800-714-2020, with the corneal inlay procedure, a great treatment for that dysfunctional lens syndrome you've heard me talk about. If you're constantly reaching for the readers, the corneal inlay procedure was designed with you in mind. So check it out. 1-800-714-2020. 1-800-714-2020. Schedule a free screening for the corneal inlay procedure. Find out if you're a candidate. Evening and weekend appointments are available. So call now. Talk to Climate Evangelista. The team member's there for an appointment time that's convenient for you. 1-800-714-2020. Reach for the phone and maybe stop reaching for the readers. 1-800-714-2020. 1-800-714-2020. Or myinlay.com.
Learn a little something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show. Mornings 7 to 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
America's liberty is under assault and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiadis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Good evening and welcome, and thank you so very much for tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk. This is always the fastest 2 hours of my week, and I am very sure this show will be just the same. On Ladies Can We Talk, all issues are women's issues, and we talk truth about America. And we're going to have one guest with us tonight who's just fabulous, and he'll be calling in just a few minutes at 6:15. This is actually a friend. I've been on committees with this gentleman named Lawrence Billy Jones, the third. He goes by Billy. He is an African-American young Republican activist, really dynamic, done all sorts of amazingly interesting things. And I want to talk with him and hear his thoughts about the Black Lives Matter movement and how the GOP should be responding to that, and about a whole bunch of other things. He's done undercover, some of the undercover projects with Project Veritas. He is a Republican consultant. He's just a really well-rounded and interesting young man. I'm so excited he'll be on the program tonight. And the second hour, my leading ladies tonight will be Jenny McGarry and Mari Sullivan. And we have a very packed and great show lined up. So I want to turn right now, as I always do in this first segment, for my Speak Up for America pitch for tonight, my Speak Up for America little talk. What I want to talk about, I want to tie two things together. There was a lot of talk during this past week about an article, it was actually almost like a thesis that came out by a woman who is a New York Times reporter, but she took a sabbatical from New York Times and to do some research through Harvard, the School of Government, and she published a long diatribe, and I did print the whole thing out. I honestly have skim read it, but you get the gist of it. The title of it is, They Don't Give a, and I'm just going to say darn on the air, They Don't Give a Darn About Governing, Conservative Media's Influence on the Republican Party. This author's name is Jackie Calmes, C-A-L-M-E-S. I'll put a link to this on our Ladies Can We Talk Facebook page. But her basic premise is the idea that elected Republicans in Washington are stymied from governing. They can't govern well because of the rise of the influence of talk radio, conservative activism, tea parties, other sources of conservative political thought. And her basic premise is the GOP should be in Washington to capitulate, to compromise, to give in to the left. Her idea of governing is just give the liberals whatever they want, and then that will be governing. And so when America has encountered, especially in the last 6 or 7 years under President Obama, encountered wider and wider protests from conservatives around the country who are concerned about the direction of the country, and they get information off of the internet and off of and from conservative talk radio, and those listeners then contact their congressmen, contact their senators. This woman's thesis is these pesky American citizens are interfering with government. That's what she's saying. She's saying these darn Americans, who do they think they are to participate in the American political process? And you know, why I want to talk about that is this is many commentators spoke of it. It is, but I brought it up to you tonight to say this is not just her view. She's a liberal. She's a New York Times writer. This is the view of many in the establishment Republican class in Washington. These pesky conservative activists, these well-informed citizens, they actually understand the content of the Iranian deal, and they're going to tell us whether to vote for it. They actually don't like executive amnesty under President Obama, and they're going to push us to stand up against him. This is a ruling class whole concept that finds irritating the presence of activist citizens who are well-informed. This is, and ladies and gentlemen, if you are well-informed and you listen to talk radio, which you clearly do, and you read the internet and stay informed, you are a blessing to this republic. You are a gift to America if you participate in the American political conversation, if you stay informed, if you speak to your congressmen and your senators and tell them what you want them to do, and you actually are politically active and occasionally may try to take one of those congressmen or senators out through a primary because they don't listen to the people. But this attitude we're hearing, this is not just the American left. This is the establishment class, the elite ruling class in Washington on both sides. And it was an astounding thing. Rush Limbaugh talked a great deal about it. Other people did, too. Just this whole concept of the utter irritation the left feels because Americans are conservative and they're speaking up. Which leads me to the second thing I wanted to mention, which was on my website, ladiescanwetalk.org, we have a comment thing. And people, you know, actually, I always give out my email address on air. It's ladiescanwetalk@gmail.com. I cannot tell you the number of lengthy diatribes I have received recently. One just came in this morning off of my website. It was I printed it out with a tiny little 10 font, single-spaced, 3 pages rant. But you know what? It wasn't an angry, ill-informed, uneducated voter. It was a really well-informed person who knew a lot about what's going on in America. And he was saying, it was a declaration of grievances. I think it was a play on Declaration of Independence, but declaration of grievances. And I can't read the long thing on air, and I won't say the gentleman's name who sent it to me, but it was a really articulate capturing of what so many people are saying. The elected Republicans, certainly the Democrats, but elected Republicans, they don't listen to the voters. And it ties back to what this woman was saying, is that Republicans in Washington find it so frustrating they can't just go and cut deals. They actually have to listen to the principles being expressed by their own voters. So the third thing I want to tie this into in this Speak Up for America segment, this all gets to the idea of political conversation and the importance of the First Amendment, which includes freedom of speech. It includes freedom to continue to speak, to challenge, to speak out, and to have a conversation, even when the ruling elite is really kind of telling you, shut up, which is really kind of the message of this lady. If you had to summarize her entire Harvard essay of whatever it was, 150 pages, she's basically saying, conservatives, shut up. That's all she's really saying. But I want to get to the really important issue this ties to right now and just of profound importance in America. And that is this debate about birthright citizenship. GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump has, in his piece, he's now issued an actual platform, a plank at least, on immigration, and he calls for the ending of birthright citizenship. And the reason this is such an important thing to think about right now, I don't know whether Congress will or will not even take it up. They may not. But the issue being discussed is whether or not the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution, the 14th Amendment that was brought into law at the time just after slavery was ended, after we ended slavery, it was introduced as an amendment to the Constitution to make very clear that everyone born here, it was directed at slaves, is entitled to citizenship. And to be very precise, what it says is, the relevant portion of the 14th Amendment, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. And the relevant language in there is, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And the debate right now is whether the 14th Amendment, as worded, simply mandates that any person who sneaks over the southern border from Mexico or any other country, just when they're, 8 months and 3 weeks pregnant, gets into the American border and gives birth. Currently, our understanding is the child was born in America, even though the parents are not American citizens, and that child is instantly entitled to United States citizenship. it's, you know, the left opposes some of the terms are used to refer to that. I'll just say it is the argument is about whether babies born inside the border are instantly entitled to citizenship, or does the 14th Amendment allow the United States government and allow the Congress to say, you know, you're not a citizen, you're not entitled to citizenship when neither parent is a citizen, you just happen to be born here. The legal question is, does the 14th Amendment mandate birthright citizenship, or to use a term the left doesn't like, anchor babies, but does the 14th Amendment mandate citizenship for everyone born here, or does Congress have the legal right to say we're going to define what and subject to the jurisdiction thereof means, and we're going to say if neither parent is an American citizen, the baby is not a citizen even though born here. And Congress could make that kind of change or announce and pass that policy, not necessarily retroactively. I think that would be a dangerous thing, but Congress could pass it prospectively, just meaning from the date that law was signed by the president, that day forward, people sneaking over the border and having a baby here would not necessarily be entitled to have that baby be a citizen. Why this matters so much in America is the way our string immigration has existed since the 1960s, really, and 70s, with all the changes Senator Kennedy brought into our immigration system. Once the baby's a citizen, then you have the whole emotional argument, well, you can't have the baby a citizen but deport the parents, so the parents get to be citizens and the grandparents and the siblings. And this string immigration, this idea of keeping families together, instead of saying, sure, we'll keep families together, the baby needs to go back to his parents' country or her parents' country, we've been saying, no, we're going to keep families together because we're simply going to grant everyone related to this child citizenship. And tying back to what I said at the start of this Speak Up for America segment, you will read things online that are intelligent argument about whether or not the 14th Amendment mandates birthright citizenship. There are conservatives who say that they don't like it, but they think that the 14th Amendment does mandate birthright citizenship. I am convinced it is not. And I'll just tell you a few quick examples, which are why not. You know, I'll just read some language. The congressman from Minnesota who introduced this bill, this is back when, introduced the language of the 14th Amendment, he actually had in it, after he said the language I already read to you about every person born in the limits and subject to jurisdiction, he writes, this will not, of course, include persons born in the U.S. who are foreigners. Aliens who belong to the families of ambassadors or foreign ministers. So the author of it had that language describing what it meant. And in addition to that, at the time, they decided that American Indians, Native Americans, were not U.S. citizens, even though they were born in what is the U.S. territory. Years later, Congress changed that, and they said, well, you know, we are going to include Native Americans as citizens within the United States. The point of that example is Congress had the right to say yes or say no as to whether these people should be considered citizens, whether they had the right to citizenship because they were born here. This debate will go on and on, this idea, and this idea of whether or not we have, you know, anchor baby citizenship, whether we have you cross the border, you manage to get inside before your baby's born, and that baby's a citizen. This debate will go on and on. It's a very fundamental and important debate. In my view, it is utterly contradictory to the idea of constitutional federal law to say that a person violating our laws to enter the country magically because of the 14th Amendment has right to citizenship, and other people who follow the legal system and apply for citizenship and wait their turn, and some are turned down and never become citizens, that they have lesser rights than someone who broke our laws and entered. We also have in the books right now a law passed by Congress in 1952 that said children of foreign ambassadors, prisoners of war, heads of state, foreign people who happen to be here when the baby's born, the child is not a citizen. The crux of the issue is, does Congress have the right to pass that law? And tying back to how I started out talking to you in the Speak Up for America moment, it's one thing to have an intelligent discussion of what the 14th Amendment means. It's a whole other thing to watch what the left is already doing on this issue, which is they are saying it's a settled issue. You can't talk about it. You can't ask. No talking. People be quiet, conservatives be quiet, Tea Party be quiet, Just stop talking. We, the left, we, the ruling class, we tell you, and you got to stop talking. And this is what is happening already. If you read the tone of articles online, it is the left pronouncing as though they're pronouncing that the sun rises in the east. It's a settled fact, and no one can change it. Mandated birthright citizenship flows from the 14th Amendment, and it doesn't. And we have to keep alive the ability to have, under our First Amendment, serious discussions and not be bullied by the left. It's the same way the left bullies about saying that global man-made global climate change is settled science. Everybody knows it. Can't talk about that. You're not allowed to argue. You can't think anything different from what the left tells you to think. But people, this is an extremely important issue as we watch the millions of people entering America every year, and the American left determined to make many who entered illegally voting citizens, because the left's motive in making these people citizens is not kindness, it's not care, it's not compassion. It is a calculated, cold, raw calculation by the American left that these people will likely be Democrat voters. That's the only reason Democrats care at all. And so we have to be able to say, this is our country. We, the people, can speak up. We want to demand this issue be resolved. Now, I don't think we should try to resolve it now. I think it'd be dangerous to take this issue before this current United States Supreme Court, because the current United States Supreme Court does not follow the law. They don't follow the Constitution. It'd be dangerous to try it now. But I think in the American political conversation, we have to preserve the question of whether, you know, anchor babies get birthright citizenship. Does the 14th Amendment mandate birthright citizenship? And the answer is no. And the answer is, at some point, we ought to assert our right to control our borders in our country and pass a law that says so. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and I zipped a little longer than I should have in this first segment. Thank you for staying tuned in. We're going to zip off to a break, and then we come back from the break. We're going to have online the gentleman I mentioned a moment ago, Lawrence Billy Jones, to talk about the Black Lives Matter movement and how he sees it. Plus, he is an extremely, he's entertaining and energetic. He's had such an interesting life for a young man. He'll be on with us next. So stay tuned to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
You can listen on the go. Find us on iHeartRadio. 660 AM, The Answer.
My book and radio show have the same name, Ladies Can We Talk. The reason I wrote the book, do the radio show, and speak to groups around the country is that I want to inspire people to remember again why America is great. Not just to say that America is great, but to understand why. My job on this show is not only to talk about the issues and events of the day and interview interesting people, but to connect the dots between how we solve today's issues and the impact they'll have on our future. I do this show to persuade listeners that real answers to the challenges we face can only be found by uniting around ideas like American-style liberty, talking less about political labels and identity politics, and more about the uniquely American identity is the only path to greater unity among Americans. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I hope you'll keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 a.m. The Answer. We talk truth about America.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Debt Relief Advocates now. 1-800-500-8980. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Debt Relief Advocates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-500-8980. That's 1-800-500-8980. 1-800-500-8980.
By now, you've heard about the amazing talents of Mike Manning, the AC Whisperer, from ChillFactorAC.com. Mike's with me now, and is it true that you're available 24/7?
You bet. There's nothing worse than your AC going out late on a hot summer night. All you want is relief, and you want it now. For a limited time this summer, we're able to provide 24-hour service with no overtime charges. We want to think we can offer you an affordable solution to a very serious problem. Hopefully, you'll see good reason to call us instead of our competitors, who are more than happy to come as long as you're willing to pay $125 an hour or more. We do have to pay our techs overtime, but you are our priority. So take advantage of this limited time offer.
For more information about this legend of AC, go to the AC Whisperer's website, chillfactorac.com. That's chillfactorac.com. Don't be confused with other imitators out there. There's only one chillfactorac.com that has the AC Whisperer. Be cool this summer with chillfactorac.com.
Let's make an offer on that Aspen Street house.
That one doesn't have a home warranty.
Is that a problem?
Not if you like paying through the nose on home system breakdowns.
Oh, what do you mean?
Like, if the air conditioner quits, want to pay for a new one? Do you know how to fix the water heater, the plumbing?
Got it. Let's only look at places with home warranties.
A home warranty from American Home Shield protects homeowners against unexpected covered repairs and breakdowns of major home systems and appliances. Who would want to move into a new home without one? Just ask your local real estate professional. Or for complimentary, helpful information about a home warranty from American Home Shield, call now at 1-800-771-2898. Service requests are subject to a fee for each trade call. Some exclusions and limitations apply. An American Home Shield home warranty instantly gives home buyers confidence in their purchase. For complimentary, helpful information, including terms, rates, and coverage, call 1-800-771-2898. 1-800-771-2898.
660 AM. 660 AM. The Answer. 660 AM. TheAnswer.com.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM The Answer.
Hello there and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. I'm so happy you've tuned in tonight, and we just have a really packed and great show lined up. And we have a guest on the line right now, a gentleman I've known for a few years here in the Dallas area. He's actually from Garland, Lawrence Billy Jones, who goes by Billy. Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you, Debbie?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you were available to call in. You know, I did not get the chance I meant to in the previous segment to tell folks a little bit more about you, and I'm not going to read your entire bio out loud, but I do think it's, I could if you like me to. No, but Billy and I actually served in one committee together for the Dallas County GOP, and since then he's just his career has taken off. He's actually a contributor at Glenn Beck's Blaze TV. He appears regularly in the Dana Show, which has to be too much fun for words. Is that fun?
It is fun. I love what I do.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, I want to jump into it. Why I wanted to talk to you tonight, I really, I've been watching this whole, of course, because I do this talk show, I watch news incessantly, but watching this whole movement that I guess right. maybe rose out of Ferguson and other instances yeah. Called Black Lives Matter, and
right.
which, of course, every life matters and Black Lives Matter, but
you would think.
But I saw this, I see some argument about how Black Lives Matter is at least partly funded by George Soros or bad guys. But even if that's true, I mean, there is a lot of racial tension in our society. So, I mean, you know, Billy, you've done consulting, you've helped candidates. So yeah. if you're a really smart GOP guy, how do you address a candidate? How do you address this?
So for me, Debbie, I don't know if you know this, but part of my job with the Blaze TV is to be an investigative reporter, be on the ground. So I've been to Ferguson, Baltimore, you know, McKinney, with all these, you know, public uprising, Black Lives Matter protesters. I was on the ground with them, getting in the dirt, trying to figure out what their concerns were. And part of the problem, Debbie, in my opinion, is the sense of hopelessness. I think this whole thing about the police, you know, in the justice system, yes, there are legitimate concerns that need to happen in a criminal justice system. And there's a lot of Republicans and conservatives talking about it, me being one. But I think there's this sense of when you have a community that has double the unemployment rate, when you have job, you know, a community that doesn't have jobs, education is poor. And we have the Democratic Party who gets all their votes, but yet they aren't helping with the problem. And then you have conservatives that really don't go to the communities because guess what? They typically don't vote for them. And so what you're seeing is this uprising because you have a group of people that just aren't being looked after. They aren't necessarily concerned, aren't being heard because of voting as well. So as a candidate, I've been telling people that you really got to inspire people. And although I'm not supporting any candidate, Trump has gotten the African-American community to really get behind him. It's really amazing.
What has he said or done, in your view, that gets the African-American community behind him?
You know, this whole notion of him being a job creator, that I'm rich, I know how to be successful, and I want to make everybody else rich. I mean, it's kind of like what the rappers do in the hip-hop industry. They speak this prosperity of, everybody can get money, and so it's been YouTube, there's been rap songs, there's 24 million views online, and it's amazing how the people are getting behind them.
Billy, we're losing you a little bit there. Okay, there you are back. Okay.
It's just amazing how they're getting behind him. I mean, it's simply because of his message of that I can make you successful. I can give you the opportunity to be successful. And it's something that other candidates aren't doing. And I really didn't think Trump would be the guy to do it. I mean, the guy's really not a politician or anything like that.
But to say the least.
Right. But his message of there's something better out there is resonating with people.
I completely agree with you. I've been I know you've done a lot of Fox News interviews too. I do Fox News radio interviews and been saying this. He just makes people think that America can work again. And also, it's a really interesting contrast because when Mitt Romney ran, his wealth was something that he kind of apologized for and hid and didn't want to talk about. And I think it made people more resentful because he wasn't taking that message like Trump is, saying, yeah, you too, let's all be rich.
Well, one thing I have been very vocal ever since I've been in, I kind of distanced myself from the GOP, and I call myself a conservatarian because I'm just so fed up with politicians and all that, I'm just sick of government. But one thing that our side has been horrible at, horrific, is messaging. We have a great message, and we shouldn't compromise on it, but we do poorly and messaging it. And Mitt Romney was one of those. But Trump, and I keep telling people this, if you're gonna attack this man's personality, you're gonna lose. The guy has made millions off his personality. You're gonna have to attack him on policy. But his messaging, the way he is putting words together, just very simple. He's not saying anything extravagant. He's not using a big vocabulary. He used the same words. And it's working in different communities. And I've been telling conservatives this for a while, that people want to be inspired. They want an opportunity to succeed in America. And right now they're saying, look, Black Lives Matter is one of them. Even though I disagree with the whole, this uprising against police, but I understand the sense of hopelessness that is causing this public outcry.
You know, I love what you're saying, and I want to ask you, I went a little long in my first segment, and we probably should go to break pretty quickly. Can you hold on and come back one more segment, because I want to talk? Oh, thank you so much. Okay, because I have so many more questions. This is Debbie George Addison. Ladies, can we talk? We're talking to Lawrence Billy Jones III, or Billy, who's just a great advocate and thoughtful guy, and we're going to zip off to our break, and after the break, we'll continue. I want to hit on the question of how Hillary responded to some Black Lives Matter protesters, and then I also want to let Billy tell you about a project he has, a seedling project going on that is just so clever, I think. So this is Debbie George Addison, Ladies Can We Talk, 660 AM The Answer. Come on back after our break.
660 AM The Answer. 660 AM The Answer.com. Dennis Prager doesn't agree with the everyone gets a trophy culture.
This is another example of the cultural left coming up with a moronic idea because they believe in change.
And, of course, self-esteem and feeling.
How much would you be willing to bet that the overwhelming majority of parents who support giving every kid a medal or trophy are Democrats, and the overwhelming majority of those who oppose it are Republicans?
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
Everyone is watching the Greek economic meltdown. Banks are closing, ATMs are empty, depositors' hard-earned money is inaccessible and likely soon to be seized. And you may have heard about the 67-year-old Greek retired public servant who lamented, "How can something like this happen without prior warning?" Greece has even endured austerity protests from a citizenry locked onto the utopian idea there can never be a consequence of unmanageable debt and unchecked public spending. And Puerto Rico is now broke. Their debt equals $20,000 per person. But do you know what the U.S. debt is? $50,000 per person. We are over $18 trillion in debt. America needs some brave politicians to say the hard things about economic belt tightening and ending overspending. Let's do it before we become Greece. We have been warned. This is Debbie Georgettis, and ladies, can we talk? We always talk truth about America and why it matters to you. Keep on tuning in Sundays 6 to 8 on 660 AM, The Answer.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services' term life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, on cholesterol medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price? Under $25 a month.
Call 1-800-919-8949 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-919-8949. 1-800-919-8949. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
You've been thinking about switching to solar. Don't wait much longer or you'll miss out on this year's federal tax credit. Move quickly because the tide is turning. Solar power is becoming a threat to big energy profits. In fact, some power companies are even pushing for extra fees to make up for lost revenue. Warning, you must have your solar system up and running by midnight December 31st or you'll miss out on this year's federal tax credit. Energy prices are expected to increase by as much as 40% in the near future. Go solar now with no down payment, interest, or payments for a whole year. You can afford it because we finance. Get your government money and save big every month. Big Energy is getting nervous and the door of opportunity is about to slam shut. Paying $150 a month or more on energy bills? Then call 1-800-MY-SOLAR now for a free in-home assessment. 1-800-MY-SOLAR. My solar.
My home, my savings, 1-800-MY-SOLAR.
Have you ever considered joining the military but stopped because you couldn't deploy to a foreign country? Believe it or not, the state of Texas has its own military force that stands alongside the Texas National Guard, the Texas Air National Guard, and serves only inside the state of Texas. It's called the Texas State Guard. I'm Tech Sergeant John Wells of the 4th Air Wing, and we're looking for you to join us. Give us a call at 877-398-8350. That's 877-398-8350. If you love Texas as much as we do, join the 4th Air Wing of the Texas State Guard.
660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgettis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello there, welcome back. We're talking this evening with, I'm just going to say Billy Jones. I love saying your whole full name, plus because the initials are LBJ, it's really fun. But I'll just call you Billy. Okay. And I have a serious question now. But actually, you know, something you said before the break, I was thinking about during the break. I've had that thought so often about how liberal big government policies have hurt the inner cities and our minority communities, but we on the Republican, and I have to say, I'm with you all the way. I don't even, sometimes I think the term conservative has been kind of tainted. I don't like to say Republican, but yeah, the messaging is so poor, and we spend too much time decrying the Democrats instead of speaking to the people directly about how we would love to lock arms and help lift you up.
You got it. You got it, Debbie. You're right there. I just spoke at an ASP conference this weekend in Ohio, and I was really telling them about so often we say what we're against. We never say what we're for. We don't tell people that there is a better way. We don't do a good job in showing people love and compassion and saying, although we may disagree on some issues, I guarantee you that this policy is what's best for you and your family. We don't do that. All we do is complain and moan about, oh, the liberal media, or, oh, the progressives are doing this, and the Democrats are doing this to this community, but we don't offer our solution.
Amen. Exactly. And, you know, I think part of what happens is, unfortunately, a lot of the consultant class on the conservative Republican side doesn't even have, can't even think of a venue, can't think how to get started, so they just kind of, go ahead.
No, exactly. They don't. They don't think of it. Like, for instance, you and I have talked about this, about me launching my chore at HBCUs, which are historical black colleges and universities. Now, it's not one of those gimmicks of, oh, I'm trying to corral the black vote, or that's not what I'm doing. I'm not going to these communities for a specific purpose to, oh, they got to vote Republican. No, I want to have a conversation and a dialogue to really understand what is the number one issue that they're facing in America, and then we can talk solutions. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to agree on every single issue, but I guarantee you that the majority of the issues we're going to agree to. Guess what? Everybody wants a job. Everybody wants their kid to have a better education. You know, nobody wants the government taking their property or anything. If we just stick to the basic issues that this country was founded on, we'll win, but we don't.
I love that. And actually, I did. That was where I was going to head next. We talked about this, I think it might have been almost a whole year ago, but about historically black colleges and universities. When you told me about it, I thought, wow, that is so, it's just brilliant to try to go engage these young people who are, you know, going to be out in the working world in the next few years and talk to them about, you know, what are their concerns, their fears, and how Republican or conservative answers will help them along their way. It's an uplifting, I thought it was brilliant. Brilliant. So where are you on that? Are you still planning stages?
So I've visited some of the colleges already, but we haven't officially launched a tour because the Black Lives Matter kind of hijacked the whole thing. And so I was focusing on really going to the communities and not just the colleges then. So you have all these, you know, these shootings or, you know, something that's happening in New York, you know, Ferguson, Baltimore. So instead of doing the tour, I only got to do some of the colleges, and then I was actually on the ground talking to pastors, talking to community members on how we can focus on issues that have, you know, catapult this whole hopelessness. And so I plan on, at the beginning of the year, trying to really get everything together to actually do the tour. I'm praying that, you know, that we come together as a country and that there is no more shootings, and that, you know, that young people will learn how to respect the police, and that the police will learn how to respect all people as well. And I believe that cops have a hard job today. I mean, I have law enforcement training. You know, I was with DPD. And so I understand that. But I also understand the legitimate concerns of different community members as well. But they're fighting against, like, for instance, the Eric Garner case in New York. The guy was arrested for selling loose cigarettes. Now, what type of law, what type of progressive law is that you can't even sell something that you already bought? You see what I'm saying? And so that progressive law led to this man's death. It wasn't the police. It was the law that a man can even be arrested over selling loose cigarettes. That's an overreach of government. And so you have people fighting against the police when they should be fighting against the government. And so that's what I'm trying to encourage people. Don't be so focused on the police. Focus on the policies that are affecting your community.
You know, I love that. But on that, on the line of policies, I did want to switch and talk a little bit about how Hillary Clinton interacted with a protester on the subject of Black Lives Matter. And they had, I guess, a closed-door meeting, and then they eventually emerged. She gave a statement, or someone gave a statement about what they had said. And what she said, which I thought was, I really disagreed with, but maybe you'll have a different reaction. She said, look, I don't believe you change hearts, arguing that the movement can't change deep-seated racism. I believe you change laws, you change allocation of resources, you change the way systems operate. You're not going to change every heart. You're not.
Yeah, because because government has worked so well before that they can fix this problem. I totally disagree. I totally disagree, but especially me being a man of faith and a Christian, I believe that to end racism in America, that you have to change hearts. A government can't make anybody stop being hateful. Now, I do agree that there are reforms that need to happen in the criminal justice system to affect all people, but it's not a matter of that the government needs to stop forcing people from being hateful. You have a right to be hateful. You have a right to be a Klansman or a Black Panther. You have a right to do that. That is freedom. And we can't rob people of the freedom to be hateful. But what we can do is that if there are legitimate concerns within the criminal justice system, that we need to make sure that the government doesn't have the reach to prosecute people for petty crimes, nonviolent offenses. You know, part of my problem with criminal justice reform is that the fact of the matter that we have people that are rapists that serve less time for people to have little ounces of weed. I think that's just fundamentally wrong. And so that's an issue within our criminal justice system.
I agree, and I didn't. I'm glad that we had that conversation, but Hillary's comment, one kind of reaction to his gut level reaction was when she says you can't change hearts. I just find that whole notion offensive, that she looks at all of America and thinks no one can progress, no one can learn better, no one can change. You can't change hearts, because I think what you're doing, a lot of your conversations, Billy, with people around America, you are embracing the idea that they can change their thoughts, they can change what they their plans and ideas were, right?
That's it. I mean, like I said before, Debbie, she's sounding like a non-believer. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to be a Christian. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I'm a Christian and that Hillary Clinton professes to be a Christian, and yet she says, I don't believe in changing hearts and minds. Then what faith are you practicing?
That's actually, we'll probably never know is exactly the answer to that. You know, what she really thinks in her heart. Well, Billy, I just commend your work so much. And I love to talk with you as your project goes along on working in these traditionally Black colleges and universities, because historically, I guess it's HBCU, historically Black college and universities. I love the idea of getting into a place where young people, they're students, they're thinking, they're inspired, they want to start their life, and just having that a place where they hear, frankly, from someone like you, because you're really fun to talk to and you're energetic and you're thoughtful. I hope that just you can really rock that next year.
Well, you know what, Debbie? I've been blessed. My mom had me at 16. And my dad married him. We had a tough life, but we were still able to make it because they taught us hard work and personal responsibility. And I believe that I can share that same message with them. You know, I've had the lowest of the lowest. We've been poorer than dirt. So I'm hopeful that we can change hearts and minds.
Okay, we're speaking tonight with Lawrence Billy Jones III, Billy, and we are just thank you so much for calling into the show, and thank you for your insights about everything we talked about. I really appreciate that, and appreciate your work in trying to bring the conservatives. Really just, you know, I've come around the show, I'll tell you, because I get tired of saying GOP Republican. I disagree with them half the time. Conservative even gets captured. I just try to say pro-American. It's like pro-ideas America's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yes, I totally agree, Debbie.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Great. Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in, and appreciate you so much, and we'll have you back soon. Billy, we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Debbie. Y'all take care.
Thank you. You know what? Our show is going to zip off to the next break, and so we can get our one little segment before the top of the hour. But we were speaking just a moment ago with Lawrence Billy Jones, who is quite often on the Dana Show, the Dana Last Show on the Blaze. He's been on all sorts of Fox News radio shows, interviewed by all sorts of networks, and he works very hard to bring the conservative message to the African-American community. Plus, he's lots of fun to talk to. So appreciate that he called in. We're going to zip off to our break, and after our break, I have some four quick things to run through my cruise through the news. And so come back after the break. This is Debbie Georgiatis, Ladies Can We Talk, on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey, 3 hours a day is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Liberal politicians are always telling us that if we will just let them take control of everything, they can make life fairer. But how do their ideas work out in real life? On my Facebook page, Ladies Can We Talk, check out the link to an article called Uncomfortable Truths About Living in a Blue State. Turns out, blue states have the country's highest level of income inequality. Blue states also have the most segregated schools in the country and the greatest inequities in public school funding. On top of that, living in a big city in a blue state is virtually unaffordable for the middle class. Also turns out in blue states, though their policies may be liberal, hate crime is highest in big cities in blue states. Liberals might talk a good game about creating fairness, but at the end of the day, it's no fair if you live in a blue state. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I hope you'll keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 AM, The Answer.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots, but doctors have discovered they're unable to reverse or control serious side effects, such as internal bleeding caused by Xarelto. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. If you or a loved one was hospitalized for any form of internal bleeding or stroke after taking Xarelto, you may be entitled to a cash award and substantial financial compensation. There's limited time to file a claim, so call 800-714-0385 now. Call 800-714-0385. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-714-0385. That's 800-714-0385. Again, 800-714-0385.
Call 267-8433, because the next best thing to do is Dalworth Clean.
Hi, Cheryl here for Dalworth Clean. You've been hearing the Dalworth jingle for almost 40 years, and when you hear it, you probably think carpet cleaning. But Dalworth offers so much more. Dalworth can clean and restore every type of flooring in your home, including those beautiful hardwood floors. Most wood floor care products leave a layer of acrylic wax that builds up over time, leaving your floor with a dull, often scruffy appearance, and they no longer clean up like they used to. Dalworth offers a wood floor revitalization process that can remove this buildup and return your floor to its original finish. This week, you can save $100 off 400 square feet or more of wood floor revitalization. So call Dalworth today and find out why it's really true. The next best thing to new is Dalworth Clean. Or visit us at Dalworth.com, where you can make your appointment 24/7.
Hi, I'm John Hill, founder of The Good Contractors List. I get asked a lot if The Good Contractors List is like Angie's List, so I thought I'd take the time to do a comparison and let you decide. On The Good Contractors List, we actually meet every one of our contractors face-to-face and have an extensive screening process. On Angie's List, you can pay to read reviews. On The Good Contractors List, if issues arise with our contractors, we get physically involved and will come to your home if necessary. On Angie's List, you can pay to write a bad review. The Good Contractors List takes into consideration things like overhead and sales tactics when choosing our contractors. On Angie's List, you can pay to read reviews. If one of our contractors refuses to fix a problem, we investigate fully and pay up to $10,000 of our own money to get it fixed. On Angie's List, you can write a bad review and you're on your own. The Good Contractors List is absolutely free with a $10,000 guarantee. Reviews are good. Responsibility is better.
The Good Contractors List.
Listen to us live on iHeartRadio, 660 AM, The Answer.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello there, and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. And we are going to, I do this time of the show, I do a zip through the news, kind of my cruise through the news. And there are always about 17 stories I'd like to fit in, and I don't really fit them all in. So I'll just tell you, coming up in the second hour, I do have my two leading ladies joining me, Jenny McGarry and Mari Sullivan. And we're going to talk in the second hour about, we have a bunch of just really, really good stories to share with you. And they always tie back the idea, and the same little slogan I use when I sell my book, Ladies Can We Talk, I always sign Speak Up for America. And this show is always dedicated to the idea of appreciating why America is exceptional, why it's great, what are the building blocks that make it great. And so So we protect and preserve those building blocks. One of them I was talking about in the beginning of the show was freedom of speech and the actual freedom to have political debate, and that this, you know, freedom of speech should include that the our elected officials in Washington aren't irritated by the fact that their constituents actually speak, that they actually speak up and want change. They want to communicate to their congressmen and senators what they want. That's part of the a building block of America. And one story I want to turn to in this segment has to do with the American military. And, you know, it's America's military has historically, as everyone knows, it has been, you know, just the kind of premier of the world. It's known around the world as the, you know, where people turn when they have troubles, when they have persecution, they hope America will help. And historically, our forces have, you know, freed Europe from the Germans and from the Nazis and Japan. We fought wars to defend and bring people freedom. America has just a profoundly important military history, a history of speaking up for the most persecuted people in the world and trying to help them. And there is a very strict code of conduct in military, and that's a good thing. You don't want to have military just you know, not have any rules about it. But I read this story, and I wanted to share it with you because I think that part of the concern in the United States military, we've talked in this show other times, like we're starting to now consider transgender people in the military, and we're starting to consider just all sorts of policies that people involved in the military have challenged whether this is a really good idea. And one thing that's occurring in America and in the military that I want to hit right now has to do with this kind of losing the sense of good and evil, or losing the sense of truth, or losing a sense of right and wrong. And this is permeating America's society, where we have it's a proliferation of news sources that no matter what the story is, whatever the side, you can read one side, there's always another side, and somebody, there's just always a back and forth. And I think I have a sense in American history, and really and still today among many thinkers, there is right and wrong, and there is good and evil. And it's important to not lose that and not get lost in the shuffle of on the one hand, on the other hand, and all that. So on the military, the story I want to tell you involves a guy who is a Green Beret. And, you know, Green Beret is a part of the Army. It's an extremely, it's like the Navy SEAL level, high level. You know, these people go through an amazing training program to get to the level to be considered a Green Beret and to get to be in the Green Beret. And the story is of a young man who was a phenomenal athlete in high school and then a football player. And he went to college, and then he was really inspired by the Pat Tillman story, and he joined the military. He went through all the rigorous training for the Green Beret. Now, I'll tell you that in our family, we don't have any members of the military, but some of our children's friends, we hear some bits and pieces about what it involves to become, you know, in physical and mental shape sufficient to become a member of whatever it is, the Army Rangers or Special Forces or Navy SEALs, whatever it is extraordinary physical and mental challenge to get to that. So this guy gets through all of that, this young man I'm going to tell you about in the Green Beret, and then he served numerous times. He was over in the Middle East, and he was serving over in, I think it was Afghanistan. I can't remember whether it was Afghanistan. Yeah, it was Afghanistan. What am I saying? It was Afghanistan. So the U.S. Army is kicking out this guy who is a decorated Green Beret. He had an 11-year service in Special Forces, and he had been nominated for all sorts of awards. And what he's in trouble for is this. So he's over in Afghanistan, and it came to his attention, to this guy and a friend of his who was also in the Special Force, it was a Green Beret with him, that a local Afghani police officer, a native of Afghani guy, was a police officer, had raped a young boy and beaten the boy's mother. So they approached this police officer and said, hey, you know, this is what we heard. And the police officer not only acknowledged he did it, but he was laughing about it. Like, yeah, really, that was really great. What a great guy I am. I mean, just laughing. And so this Green Beret and his buddy pushed this guy. They didn't kill him and they didn't, you know, shoot him, but they did rough him up a little bit. And so just stop and think in American culture, just stop and think a moment. If a police officer was approached for engaging in conduct like that, The last thing he would do would be tell someone. He'd probably be mortified, embarrassed, and he would shut up. But this Afghani police officer complained to the American military about these two officers who pushed me around just because I happened to rape a small boy and beat the smithereens out of his mother. And so these two guys got removed from their what they were supposed to be doing, and they had some kind of administrative assignment. And the one that decided to leave the military, and I'm not sure if he got an honorable discharge or not, but he left. But the guy I'm talking with you about tonight, this guy is Charles Martland. He wants to stay in. He loves the Army. And so he is being driven out, headed toward a dishonorable discharge over what I just told you. So there is a congressman, Representative Duncan Hunter. Actually, he's from San Diego area where he used to live in California. And he's a former military guy. And he's writing a letter to the Army basically saying, he's writing a letter actually to Defense Secretary Ash Carter just saying basically, are you kidding me? You're kicking him out for that. Now, look, the reason I bring this story up is this is, I can't even think of the right terms for it. This is political correctness gone amok. We have rules in the military. And so, of course, I'm sure they're not supposed to, you know, rough up a police officer in Afghanistan. But where's the sense of justice about it? Where's the sense of actual patting on the guy in the back and say, good, sure wish you'd kicked him harder? I mean, the punishment so far exceeds the crime to kick a guy out of the military who wants to serve, who was actually, I was trying to think of that. I have the article in front of me and trying to find it quickly. The award he was offered. He was a runner up in some. Okay, here it was. 2014 Special Warfare Training Group Instructor of the Year. He was runner up for that from a pool of 400 senior leaders in special forces. I mean, this is a stellar guy, and we can't figure out. We can't find some basis to say, but man, what a good guy. We need about 1,000 of him we need more of these people in the military. But this is, I find this extremely troubling, and I think it goes back to this notion we're losing some broader sense of justice and of good and evil in American society, that this is okay with the Army. This shouldn't be okay. And so I want to share that story just to say we always in the show appreciate the military. We support them. We're so grateful for them. And we are up to the end of this first hour. We're going to come back after the break and have join my leading ladies join me, Jenny McGarry, Mari Sullivan. And this is Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer with Debbie Georgiatis. Come on back after our break. Presidential candidate Bernie Sanders announced recently that health care is a right, something government must provide. This is wrong. Health care is a necessity, a responsibility, but not a right. Rights are things like the freedom of speech, religion, and assembly. Nothing that costs money can be a right, or else Americans would have the right to enslave each other. That may sound harsh, but it's true. Let's start with the basics. Governments have no money. The money they spend comes from taxes they forcibly collect from you and your neighbors. But healthcare costs money, educating and paying professionals, producing medicines, etc. If you have the right to make the government pay for your healthcare, you have the right to force your fellow citizens to work and pay taxes to buy your healthcare. Knowing the difference between real rights and things that are not rights is vital, or else we get duped into enslaving each other. This is Debbie Georgiatis. Please keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday at 6 p.m. on 660 AM The Answer. We talk truth about America.
This is an announcement for all people who want to take a risk-free challenge to whiten their teeth in 5 minutes using clinically proven power swabs. This risk-free challenge is for people whose smile has been yellowed by coffee, tea, or smoking. It's so effective, we challenge you to try it for 5 minutes to see how white your smile could be. If lines are busy, try again. Dial 1-800-663-5922. That's 1-800-663-5922. 1-800-663-5922.
For over 75 years, Geico's kept an eye on the future, keeping customers happy with things like 24/7 customer support and emergency roadside service. And to prove it, here's one of our commercials from